These things are also part of a bad attitude anyway. This is how we get a bad attitude. The first one's ungrateful. We become an ungrateful civilization of people. We forget a lot about what we have, and we focus on what we don't. And you say, well, we're not so bad that way. Well, I bet you are. You know, we were talking to somebody today. Do you remember the days when you didn't have air conditioning? Anybody? But, you know, you'd say, I'm hot. I can't stand it. Mama, you know, and what would happen? You'd get this, hush, you'll be better in a minute. And it didn't get any cooler in a minute, but you were, somehow or another, you shut up about it because I told you to hush. You know, we didn't realize how wonderful air conditioning that didn't turn off all day long on a day like today would be. But we not only are, you know, we're ungrateful about a lot of things we have. We just don't understand how terrible sometimes we are about things. You know, if we've got the wrong iPhone, we're just upset, aren't we? You know, what kind of iPhone you got? Well, I got 7. Well, there's an 8 out. I mean, where's your 8? You know, and that kind of thing. And I know I got recently, about 2 or 3 months ago, got a newer desktop computer at my house. Got it, one of these bargains that my son got for me. And he didn't tell me it had Windows 10 on it. Well, you know, I'm used to Windows 7. I liked Windows 7. It was easy, and it was good for me. But Windows 10 comes along, and I'm going, where are all the icons, you know? What happened to everything, you know? And it's just difficult. It's a different thing, you know. I've learned to appreciate Windows 7. I have. And other things. But most of us we're an ungrateful group of people. It's hard for us to remember a simpler time, you know, when we probably were happier. There's a book called Choice Anxiety that was written, and it was written about greed, and it talks about the more things that you have, the more unhappy you become. Because here's the way we get, and children kind of are this way to us too. We watch our children and grandchildren. You know, the more things we get, all we're doing is looking forward to the next thing. We're not looking at what we have. I think our grandchildren probably are that way some now. We give them something and we're tickled. Hey, how about that? We did that. And they'll go like, is this it? you want me to be happy over that? You know, that's just the way it is. Greed does that to us. It causes us to get into a bad place. It causes us to have a bad attitude if we're not careful. Second one was unholy. Unholy. We are making choices daily, I believe, that are destroying our hearts. Now, we know that God is rich in mercy, and he's always willing to forgive us. And he loves us to the nth degree. We can't count that. But many of us are walking around knowing that fact, holding grudges against people. We've failed to forgive someone who's wronged us. Yet we want to go around and claim the forgiveness that God has given us through his son Jesus, but we don't want to stop and even consider forgiving someone who hurt us so many years ago, then it still hurts. And every time I think about it, I get mad. Well, you hadn't let it go yet. You hadn't forgiven. And we kind of forget those kind of things. And that, you know, all I know about the word unholy is being holy is more like Jesus. Only Jesus can be holy. So being more like him means I'm more of a holy person. You say, well, you don't look very holy to me. But hey, I'm trying my best to be holy, to be a holy person like Jesus. That's what being holy. Unholiness means going exactly the opposite direction. And it also endeavors to do this. It's sin, it's unrepented sin that hasn't been confessed or repented of. Here you go. And I'm telling my Sunday school classes this all the time, we've taken this word out of our dictionaries. We've taken the word repentance as Christians, we've taken that out. Because here's what we do. We say, okay, I'm going to confess it. And there it is. Well, are you stopping it? No. I don't want to stop it. It's too much fun. Or I'm having a ball doing this. I just can't stop it. I'm just going to continue this sin because I just can't stop. Hey, folks, that's not what repentance ever meant. We're supposed to confess our sin one to another and before God. And when we do that, we're supposed to repent the sin, turn and walk away from it. Don't just keep living like I'm living. You know, we got to repent of it. And that right there is keeping us from living a holy life before God. And that's why he listed in the letter there to Timothy when he says we're living unholy. That's where bad attitudes come from. They're already there. It's time to get those out of the way. The third thing I said was without love or unloving. Unloving. Now, before you know what unloving is, you got to know what loving is. Right? I got to know what it means to really love somebody. And we've misused that word in our cultures terribly. You know, I love this and I love that and I love the love. The word love, as far as a Christian's concerned, is from the Greek agape, which is an unconditional kind of love, which means I don't love you based on how you treat me. Boy, I don't love you based on how you treat me. I love you no matter what. I love you no matter what. Now, if all Christians just looked at that and said, hey, I'm going to practice that. All the other things, I'm going to do the best I can, but I'm going to practice that. If I could love everybody unconditionally. Because that's how Christ loves us. He didn't come die for us because, you know, this, that, that. He loved us first. And then God sent his son to die for us. Even while we were yet sinners, he didn't look and say, well, they've cleaned their act up. I'm going to love them a little bit now. That's not the way it is. And sometimes we're that way. We're very much that way with other people. You know, if they don't treat me right, I'm not going to love them. Well, you know, if they don't do what I think they should do, then I'm just going to stay away from them. I'm not going to love them. Folks, that's totally away from what it says to do. That's selfishness is what that is. That's wanting to live in your own little world. It's normal. It's human nature for us to be drawn to the people that are closest like us and us learn to love those people that are easy to love. But now there's some folks in this world that are hard to love. Those are the ones I'm talking about. If we're going to be a church and we're going to be God's people, how are we just going to love folks that are easy for us to love, that we just kind of took to, you know what I'm saying? Oh, we got to love everybody. You know, when somebody walks through that door and they don't look like us, we got to love them. If they don't have as much financially as we do, we got to love them. You know, if they don't pray the way we pray, we got to love them. You know, if they don't get to attend as much as we attend, we got to love them. We got to find a way to love unconditionally. And that's that agape love. That's intentionally caring about someone else and regardless of the consequence to us. That's caring about someone to that point. You know, and we got a lot of that going on. We think, yeah, we live in a world of terrorism and boy, isn't that awful, Mike. No, we got a lot of that going on here. Don't misunderstand. I mean, bad attitudes, they're not about the unloved. It's about the condition of our own heart. That's where bad attitudes come from. You ever thought that change in our world might just begin with us, allowing God to change us first? Allowing God to say, God, change us so that my attitude's where it should be. And then The number four there on the chart of the uns is unforgiving. Perhaps the largest one of all here is unforgiving. People that haven't forgiven us. You know, if we sat this morning, tonight, and asked ourselves, what percentage of people say in this room have some unforgiveness in their heart? What would you guess? Well, we'd want to be nice and say, okay, about 40%. The truth is, folks, it's probably more around 80. You want to be truthful about it? It's probably more around 80% that's got some unforgiveness in their hearts towards someone else. And if we've all got life situations that we've been in where people have hurt us, people have let us down. We don't think we deserve to be where we are and what position we're in because, doggone it, somebody wronged us or somebody didn't do what they were supposed to do. And like I said, here we are accepting and claiming the love of Christ and his forgiveness, and yet we won't want to do it to someone else. We don't want to offer that to someone else. And then I know what you're thinking. You're saying, yeah, but you don't understand how bad it is. You don't understand how bad I've been hurt and who did it. Well, I understand how bad Jesus was hurt. I think I can read that, and I think I can understand that, and I saw how he reacted. Now look at John 10:10 I put underneath that. And then I'm going to give you four quick things about some good medicine to change your attitude. John 10:10 says this, the thief comes to only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and they might have it to the full. Let's don't be misled here, folks. The real enemy is not tangibly sitting in this room where we can see him. He's the enemy inside each and every one of us, okay? The devil's who we're fighting against, and he's trying to get into us and change all these attitudes so that everybody that see Christians, they'll say, well, that's the way they act. What good is it doing them? You ever hear that? Well, I do. You know, and it's heartbreaking sometimes. This good medicine that we're supposed to have is a good attitude. It comes from God. It comes from the power of the Spirit that lives in us. It's us calling on that Spirit to show itself in us for the benefit of us and for the benefit of other people. Now, Proverbs 17:22, and did I put that in there? I did. A cheerful heart is good medicine. A cheerful heart is good medicine. You're just being cheerful to someone. You just being upbeat and cheerful to another person, to someone, is good medicine for them. And it's good medicine not only for them, but it's good medicine for your own heart. It helps your own heart. You know, we had a couple of bad days at work last week, and I say bad, but you know, one of the things I was working on this, and I had made up my mind on a couple of those days is I'm not going to have a bad attitude today. Well, now that's kind of hard to do when the third person you say to after you had your first drink of coffee curses you out because they owe you money. Did you get that? They curse you because they owe you money. I've never understood that premise. It should be, you know, it should be the other way around. But sometimes we have customers that are difficult, very difficult customers. And what I tried to do, and I'm telling you, take it from me, it works. I tried to have, I'm going to have a good attitude. I don't care what their attitude is. I'm going to let them have their say, and then I'm going to look at them, and I'm going to be as nice to them as I can possibly be. And I'm going to treat them with every respect. And I'm going to be just as nice. I'm going to pour nice at them so bad they're going to wish they'd never come in here. And it worked. I got some that won't come in there and curse again because They left with nice pouring off their back, so I can assure you they did. It does work. Cheerful hearts, good medicine. Nehemiah 8:10 says this. It says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You want to keep from having a bad day? Carry the joy of the Lord with you. Get up in the morning and carry the joy of the Lord with you. Don't throw it away. Don't let it run out the first time something bad happens. You carry the joy of the Lord with you all day. And find out how strong your God is. He's able to change any situation. I've seen so many that he can change. Now, quickly. There's about four solutions that I think to these uns that I think will help you to come up with a very good attitude for your day and for your week. Number one is this, and this is great. Make the choice every day. What's really great about these things here is a lot of it is up to us. The Holy Spirit's living inside us, so we get to make the choice that we're going to listen to the Holy Spirit. We're going to call upon Him, and by calling upon Him, we're going to make the choice every day to follow Him. Look at Hebrews 12:1 there. So let us throw off all the things, everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles us. The sin is trying to hold us back. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It's not a sprint. It's a long race. If we're not going to be able to run the long race until we realize we've got to have the joy of the Lord in us, because it'll eat us alive if we don't. We've got to be careful with that. And then Psalm 19:14 says this. I love this. Said, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let the words that I speak, the words of my mouth, and the meditations of my heart, those things that I think about in my heart, let those things be pleasing unto you, O Lord. Now, what kind of wonderful attitude will we always have if those two things were true? If the words of our mouth and the meditation of the things we thought on in our heart were pleasing to God, then we'd have great attitudes. We wouldn't have to worry about sometimes those sneaking in. Hey, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you, okay? I'm the one who has a bad attitude every now and then, okay? So we all go there every now and then. Let's just, let's recognize it. This past time when I recognized it, I actually pulled out a book and did some reading and didn't just go through it. I like to be depressed every now and then, don't you? You know, just, I'm depressed. Leave me alone. You know, Sharon will say, well, there you are. You just act like you're so depressed, you know. Well, that's because I am. And there's no need in it. It's not a good Christian thing. It's not a good witness, okay? So the second thing I put there was to develop a high appreciation for life. A high appreciation for life. We need to understand this, that there's nothing inside of us that really wants everything to go good for us. There's this sin nature that's trying to hold us back, that wants us, wants to destroy us today. What we've got to do is have such a great appreciation for life. Get up every day and thank you, God, for another day. Don't go far beyond that day because you can't handle it. Stay with the day. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, Father, for this day. And if you thank your Father for that day, then you know He can get you through that day and get you to where He wants you to be at the end of that day, and that you can praise Him for it. You can make the decision. Don't trust your feelings. Don't wait for something to happen to you and then say, doggone it, that's the way my attitude ought to be. You see that guy come in, hit me, my car in the back? Well, now I've got a terrible attitude. It's not my fault, it's his. He hit me. You can make your mind up ahead of time and say, I'm going to have a great attitude no matter what. My attitude is going to be in the Lord, because one little back fender bender here, God's got all that. He's in control. I talked to a gentleman today that's a friend of mine. He's a business associate. He's a friend of mine. And about three or four weeks ago, they found his brother, who he was very close to, and his brother's fiance. They found them asleep on a boat. And both of them were dead from what they believe is carbon monoxide poisoning. Young man in his 30s. And it just destroyed just about everything. It just took him away. He was telling me today, I was on the phone with him today asking how he's doing. And, You know, I couldn't even begin to imagine I don't even know what normalcy is for you now. I said, I don't know what that would be like, but are things getting a more tolerable thing? Oh, yeah. He said, oh, yeah. I'm going, boy, that's pretty quick. That's pretty strong. He said, I got the Lord with me. He said, I can't imagine anybody going through what I went through don't have the Lord with them. He said, that don't have a higher power, a higher being. And I said, well, you know, it all makes sense. It all makes sense to me to have a higher power and authority. I said, because that's the only way it makes sense. And he said, that's exactly right. And I wrote this down for you. I think I've read this to you before. But making that, having a high appreciation of life, you've heard me say this before. You get up, you can look at the Lord and say, Lord, so far I'm doing all right. I've not lost my temper. I've not been greedy. I've not been nasty. I've not been self-indulgent. I've not whined, cursed, or hadn't eaten any chocolate. But in a few minutes, I'm going to get out of bed, and then I'm going to need you for sure. That's the way most of us are. Now, 2 Corinthians 6:10 there said, and Paul wrote this, he said, I'm sorrowful, yet I'm always rejoicing. I'm poor, yet making many rich. And he said, I have nothing, yet I possess everything. Seemed like there were some things there that totally contradicted each other, didn't they? See, Paul said, even if I experience this, I've still got this over here. Even if I feel like I don't have anything, I'm the richest man there is in Christ Jesus. You know, if I'm in chains, I can witness to the guards that have me in chains, and I can win their, you know, I can win their hearts to Christ. You know, no matter where I am, I get to do that. That's a high appreciation for life. I don't know how reading the epistles, I don't know how Paul the Apostle had that great high appreciation for life, but I believe he did. I believe that he did. And that's what that is. That's having a high appreciation for life no matter what happens. I don't know if I put this in there, but 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. The will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus is in everything you give thanks. In every situation, you give thanks. It didn't say you had to love it. It didn't say it had to make you feel good. It didn't say any of that. It's acknowledging the sovereignty of our Lord, and it's saying to him, in every situation, I'm going to give thanks because you're in control. You've not lost control, and you're not going to lose control. Number three, and boy, am I flying here. Y'all notice that? Number three, find something positive in everything. Led right into that, didn't I? Try to find something positive in everything. Now, that's tough to do, I know that, but it's still worthwhile to do. It's something that we should do. Try to find something positive in everything that comes our way. I read a story about this lady that was going into a nursing home, and her family was worried about how she was going. If you haven't put a parent in a nursing home or a loved one in a nursing home, then I can tell you, I'm one up on you. That's a difficult, difficult thing to do. It's difficult to walk out that door and leave them there, especially if they don't want to be there. And this lady, her children were talking to her and said, you know, I hope you're going to like this, mother. You know, we've selected this place and everything. And she told them, I've already seen it. Well, they knew there's no way she could have possibly ever seen it. They'd never taken her, and she had never been. And, you know, she had gotten progressively worse, sick. And so they said, you don't understand. We're hoping you're going to like this place. She said, I'm going to like it because I've already seen it. They said, what are you talking about? How could you possibly have already seen it? She said, I've already seen it in my mind in Christ. I'm trusting in him. So no matter where the lamp's sitting, or no matter where this piece of furniture is in the room, I'm going to like it. because I know he's already there. He's already got it arranged. And see, that's finding something positive in everything. I've seen this to be true. You need to make the choice. People can either irritate you to death or they can entertain you. One of the two. You watch them. You can make, when, you know, they walk up to you, you know they're fixing to say something, you can say, okay, this is going to be entertaining. Or they say, I'm going to be irritated with them from the very first word. Be entertained. Look at Philippians 4:8. I put there for you. It says, finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Find something good in everything you look at. Find something good in everything and make the choice that that's what you're going to focus on. And this right here deserves a round of applause. The fourth and last point. Y'all didn't get that. 30 more minutes, let's see. Fourth thing is, let's turn everything over to God. Let's have an attitude that we're going to turn everything over to God. Give God your problems. You've heard people say, I'm going to give God my problems. And then they'll tell you about every problem they got. But if you gave them to God, why are you still hanging on to them? Because both of you can't have them at the same time. They can't be yours and God's. You're either going to let God have them or you're not. So let God have your problem. Tell God what your problem is and say, God, I'm turning that over to you. He's never failed on one of them yet. You know, I look at the example of Jesus. He turned the worst day in the history of the world into the greatest event in human history. You think about it. He turned the worst possible day in the history of the world to the greatest event in human history. And one day. 1 Peter 5:7 says this. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Turn everything over to God. Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Boy, sometimes it's amazing how quick we forget good scripture, isn't it? Sometimes when I catch myself being in a depressed or a bad attitude or wanting to be in a bad attitude or all of that, just reading some scripture will bring me back around, and it's you know, I look and I say, you know, I knew that. I've read that. I've studied that. What was I thinking? I was thinking what the devil wanted me to think, the worst of it all. What if the worst happens? You know what happens if the worst happens? You still got God. I still got a holy God that's in control of everything, and he loves me. I sometimes wonder why, but he loves me. He loves me because he is God. And he loves you for the same reason. Last verses here, Philippians 2:5-11 says this. Your attitude, here we go, should be the same of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen and amen. And I fully well believe that, folks. I believe that every tongue's going to confess. I believe every head's going to bow. And it's coming. We need to understand that. We need to kind of catch ourselves a little bit when the attitude starts going south and realize who we're serving, realize who's in control, and realize what it's all about. And we have to come and sing. We're supposed to sing His holiness. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to show His love and show His character and our love for other people, that agape love. And we're supposed to be forgiving. We're supposed to forgive people that have wronged us. That's how we're supposed to be. Because you know why? It's so vitally important. Because the world outside that's lost is looking for it. And it's inside us. And if we're not showing them, where are they going to find it? Where are they going to find it? Let us pray. Father, we praise You in Jesus' name tonight for, Lord, once again, Your word, how true it is to us, Lord, and how wonderful it is and what it means to us. Father, we do thank You that sometimes our attitudes just take off and go into wrong places. You know, when depression sets in, different things, we feel sorry for ourselves. We're selfish. Lord, we're so thankful that we have a God that loves us. Lord, that looks past our many sins and loves us anyway. A God that forgives us, that loves us, wants to live inside of us and direct our hearts every day. Father, make it where we will want to choose the direction You will take our hearts daily. Because, Lord, any other direction that we would take would be far, far askew from what You could do. So we ask You now, Lord, take each heart, touch to remembrance, Lord, one of these points that's come in this scripture, Lord, that's been read tonight. Revive our hearts and turn us into Christians with good attitudes. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen.